even now. Father, even now, have your way. We have tapped into a new scripture. We're coming out of Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49, out of the New King James. Would you stand? Still in the same series. Living a life of faith that God blesses. It reads as such in our hearing. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hear my saying and does them, I will show you whom they is like. He is like a man that's building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. So the foundation is separate from the rock, but it laid its foundation on a rock. So the rock has to be bigger than the foundation in order to hold the foundation. Y'all see that? And when, not if the flood rose, say that, when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently against the house that could not shake it, couldn't be shaken. Not because of the foundation, but because the foundation was on a rock. I think y'all getting me. For it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on earth, on sand, without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Amen. The theme that I hope to bring out, I'm not going to get as far as I want to because I only got a half hour to preach. Shame on me. Living in faith beyond what we see. The faith that God wants us to have is not based on what we can see. It's not even based on how we feel. Because if all we have is faith based on what we can see, that's not faith at all. If you can see it, if you can figure it out, if you can understand it, that's not biblical faith. Faith begins when we are beyond what we can do. Faith begins when it's past our understanding. Faith is when you have to look to something other than yourself to supply what you need. Faith requires a dependency, not independence, but a dependency on a God that has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Did you know it even take faith to worship? Oh, yes, it does. Yeah. There's a whole lot of us got up this morning and we didn't feel like worshiping. But faith requires not to be governed by your feelings or even what you think. Faith means that I know he is worthy. And God requires a sacrifice from me. So today, whether I feel like it or not, today, whether I got my tithes, I'm still gonna give. Whether I feel like people notice me or not, how can I say this? If nobody speaks to you, even though they should, the first reason why you come in here is to meet your Creator. So it really doesn't matter who rolled their eyes, who got a snotty attitude. It really doesn't matter whether you like me or not. Did you know how much faith it takes for me to come up here and preach God's word? Listen. It's not giving a message to you. It's me catching hold of what God is saying to me. And since he says it to me and I need it, I take it for faith that you need the same thing I need. And the reason I say that, because we are in the same battle. Your faith is under attack. Every single day, the devil is trying to make you step backwards, not go forward. And since it works, he still does the same lie to make us doubt the character, to make us doubt the goodness, to make us doubt that God is for us, to make us doubt the plan and intent of God for our individual life. Yes, sir. I am amazed how many times God says to Moses, to David, and to Jacob, and he says, why didn't you trust me? That's beyond just being obedient. Because what God wants us to get past is being pharisaical. Pharisees did what was right, thinking that just their obedience to the law would get them blessed, but they didn't attach God to it. It becomes works. This is a relationship. God says, Jesus says, oh, he says, if you love me, obey me, because obedience without love won't get you nowhere. But the heart of the matter is that you have gotten to a place of knowing me. Listen to the scripture. Jesus is talking to them and he's saying, He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? There's a difference in calling Jesus Savior. There's a difference in calling Jesus God. When you say Lord, the indication is we have surrendered to his lordship. The indication is that we are trying to take the totality of our lives and put it under his authority and tell him, I'm yours. What he's talking about here is y'all using the right word with the wrong attitude. You're calling me one thing, but you're not actually allowing me to be that. He said, you hear what I'm saying, and y'all come chasing after me saying, Lord, but you know what I said, and you're not doing it. So you're calling me what you're not allowing me to be because you'd rather do it your way than do it my way. He comes back and said, what you don't understand is when I lay down truths to you, it's for your benefit that you follow it because I'm trying to bless you. He said, I know what type of world you live in. I know what you're going to face. In fact, I have already went before your individual life and placed blessings on the path before you. I've given you grace. I've given you strength. Matter of fact, all you have to do is stay on point. If you get off point, get back on point. Trust me when you don't understand. He said, trust my heart and my love towards you when it doesn't make sense. Even when everybody else is going that way. Even when everybody else is doing that. He said, if you want what I have, and you know, one of the things that I'm worried about when I get to heaven, when he showed me what I could have had. When he showed me what he had prepared for me before the foundation of the earth, and because I insisted on doing it my own way, I missed what would have fit me perfectly. Oh, shut your mouth. The level where God had in mind for us, let me say this, is not where we are at. You know why? We thought we knew better than him. Let me throw this at you. Because God threw this at me. Why are you complaining when you did it? You know what he did? He shut my mouth. He said, if you would have just allowed me to be Lord, I know you better than you know you. I had it all set up for you. He said, but you wouldn't wait and trust me in the wait. So since you went about your way and you went another way around and created your own path, you miss what I have for you on the path that you should have been on. But I'm not going to waste. Come on, watch this. God's so good. But I'm going to use what you went through because I'm the one that kept you from dying on the path you chose. You thought you was on it by yourself, but I was there all the time. Give God thanks for being there. Hold on. This obedient, stubborn, block-headed, stiff-necked, and he still was with you. He still was with me. Somebody ought to give God some praise. He said, you are building your life. He's not talking about house. He's talking about our life. He's using the illustration of a house, but he's talking about how we are building the sum total of our life. He said, a man that listens to me is a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on truth. Not opinion, not how they feel, not according to culture, not according to being religious, not according to how we have always done it, Not based on what mama said and papa said and grandpappy said and grandmommy said. But based on what he says, listen, he said, my words, I'm speaking life to you. I'm speaking into your spirit. He says, don't get caught up in the lust of the flesh. That's sensual gratification. That's Satan. Adam and Eve fell for that. Jesus said, I will not turn the stones into bread because I'm waiting on my Father. I'm hungry. I got a need. But I'm not going to act outside of what he has prescribed for me. Now watch this. He has to say this. I know he know I'm hungry. But I know that he's going to keep me in my hungriness until he gets ready to fulfill my hunger. He knows where I'm at. He know what I'm going through. He know my hurt. He know my pain. And he cares for me. So he has given me the grace to go through where I'm at. And I'm going to trust him till he decides to bring about a change. That's living by faith. That's faith that in your earthly situation, God is God. He is sovereign. Well, I said, he is Lord.
Yes, he is.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Well, let me give you a simple example. Are you worried about everything? Are you worried about Tuesday? Are you losing your peace about whatever? The question I ask myself, and we all go to this trial, Lord, are you sovereign over my life or not? Have you promised to keep me when I don't understand? Lord, I got a bad doctor's report. Can I step into this which I don't know, knowing that you, if you brought it my way, you can keep me in the way because you got purpose for me and I'm not going nowhere until my purpose is fulfilled. As long as I'm doing your purpose, Lord, I see you in everything. The very place where we fear is the very place we're going to be attacked.
Amen.
The Bible in Ephesians chapter 6 says the wiles of the devil, the Greek is planned out method, planned out strategy. He knows where to pluck. He knows what to bring. Listen, he's not going to attack us where we're strong. He's going to attack us where we're weak. Jesus says, I have a word for every situation. That life, listen, the whole foundation is built on a rock that is stronger, bigger, more steady than itself. The undercrust, there's a Stuart Road because there's a whole lot of wetness there. There used to be a creek there. The houses that are built correctly are built on pillars. Let me explain. Since the foundation, they could not go deep enough with the foundation, they erected concrete pillars that goes down to the rock. And they build these pillars to hold the foundation. Without the pillars being attached, to the rock. When stuff start moving, the house is going to move. Guy came to me from Texas. He said, we don't have basements. I said, why not? He said, because it's water down there. We can't build basements. He said, and the land is flat, so the rain don't run off. What are you building your life on? What do we take as our truth that we know that when things gets hard, we go to, we stand on, we pray about, we meditate about? You got Satan wants us to lose our minds. If God wasn't keeping some of us, let me change that. If God wasn't keeping all of us, somebody said, I've been called crazy my whole life. Well, I am crazy. Let's get that out the way. But do you know how much crazier I would be? Nobody but God. But that's not just me. That's you too. The test of our faith is not Sunday morning worship. This shows nothing. The test of your faith is Monday morning storm. The test of our faith is going to be Tuesday evening. How much time we got? Oh, Lord, help me. Okay. Can you give me permission? I just needed one person to give me permission. Thank you. I have a theory. I can't prove that it's true. But it comes from me sitting in the classroom and we were talking about the prophecy, the foretelling of prophecies. I'm just going to use for example, I don't know if this was true, whether this is what I use, but the professor said something about, can you name me a prophecy of a forthcomer before the real prophecy was fulfilled? John the Baptist. He asked me a question I never thought before. He said, you're right, Tracy. He said, but Tracy, is John the Baptist the only forerunner before the coming of Jesus? He said, he was just the forerunner, but every prophet before him was a forerunner. And as he got closer to the time, the message became more clear. There was multiple forerunners that was telling the prophecy of Jesus. Y'all with me? Okay. Did you know that before Jesus come, one of the things that's going to happen, and I knew this, but I've been missing it, was the great apostate. That is the great falling away from the church.
Yes, sir.
Not just one, but there's through church history. I wonder if the COVID incident, I wonder if that 2 year, listen, a virus shut down the United States, shut down the world. In third world countries, people was falling over dead. In India, They literally would take straw and wood and burn bodies in a big field. In the United States, the economics almost collapsed. And we are a capital nation. Money makes everything, and jobs closed. A virus shook the world, shook the church, and no church is the same after this shaking that had to come through God first. Nothing happens without God's permission.
Amen.
It wasn't the devil. He may have started it, but God permitted it. And maybe, just maybe, that was one of the great apostates to affect the church, and that's why people haven't came back. Our problem is we want to stay in the natural and not walk in the spiritual. Our problem is we want to see things from our perspective and not biblical perspective. We have to be able to discern the times. If Christ is coming back soon, the great apostate and watch this, multiple one has to take place first before he is revealed. Okay, if that's true, we better get ready. We better get ready. Are you ready? How can something that stops the world not be biblical? How can something a little something, invisible something, fly from continent to continent to continent, and science who think they are God is confounded? You know what? It's funny. I remember 9/11, people gathering in the churches, because they were scared. People was coming to special prayer meeting. We were scared. We was under attack. Yeah, you're right. Many went back out. Well, guess what? With COVID, people didn't come back. They stayed away. Where does that fit in biblical prophecy? Where does that fit in the spiritual alignment of what God is bringing together? Because he is sovereign. He's in control. We fight things in the natural when we need to get on our knees and ask God what is happening in the spiritual. He's Lord. He's God. He says, lean not unto your own understanding. Proverbs 3:3, where first he suffered. He said, love and truth. Etch it in your heart. Put it around your neck. Notice it said, truth and love. Etch it in your heart. Let it be the that would keep you in alignment. Let it be that you walk in love and truth ought to mark your life. Love and truth ought to be the sign that is on your back and on your forehead. Love and truth ought to be the gallery, the rails that you walk your life in, you make your decisions in, that you live your life by those two truths. Then he said, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways, not just acknowledge, submit, commit. Can I tell you what commit means? Do it regardless how you feel. Do it regardless what you think. Do it because you trust God in the spiritual realm. But what time is it? Because I don't have enough time. Okay, I got enough for one more illustration. In Psalms 34, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Can I break that down for you? Let me break that down. Some of us haven't experienced the goodness of the Lord because we won't taste. It starts off with you have a responsibility by faith to step in what I tell you to do. Let me throw something at you. Let's throw something at me, something at you. When the Lord wakes you up 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning to go down and pray, did you do it? Did we shake it off? What I've learned is this. When God wakes me up, he's preparing me for a spiritual attack that is on the way.
Amen.
Jesus come down off the Mount of Transfiguration, and the disciples, there's a whole lot of confusion going on down there, and the disciples are trying to cast out this boy that has a demon in him. And if I put the two gospels together, the story goes like this. They come running to Jesus, and the father come, say, "Can you help my little boy?" And Jesus said, "If you can believe," he said, "help my unbelief." Jesus asked the question, how long? He has never asked that before. The reason is, when you understand this level, when you go from hearing to oppression, depression, then you go into possession. The longer the possession is, the worse it digs in, and you see a manifestation of the demon deeper the longer the case is. When he saw the boy is foaming. The boy is being jerked and pushed around. He's falling on the ground, going into convulsions. The disciples, though they have done it before, they never saw a case like this. Fear set in. They never seen it, so they go through the same ritual in the name of Jesus. Their fear is greater than their faith because they're looking at what the demon is showing instead of looking at God. Can I ask you a question? What you looking at? Whenever we take our eyes off of him, fear comes, doubt comes, everything comes. That's why Peter was able to walk on the water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. No matter what was going on around him, couldn't affect him because he had his eyes on Jesus. But when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. Jesus come. He said, how long? He said, long time. Jesus rebuked it and it's gone. After the disciples go, why couldn't we do it? Jesus said, this kind, this at this level don't come out without prayer. One version says, and fasting. And what he was saying is this. You have to be at a level of spirituality that your eyes is on him and you are assured of your faith. It comes from spending time. It comes from getting real with the Lord. It comes from trying to consistently say yes. Did you hear what I said? No, notice I didn't say all the time, because none of us is there all the time, except from Jesus. But it's where, when we miss it, we go back and say, Lord, I'm almost done. It has to be that when we miss him, it's a big thing to us. It has to be that we catch his heart. The one thing, when I was a bad little boy, but I thought I didn't let my parents know it. I came home broken all the time. But what got to me is if I ever made my mom cry, because I knew I broke her heart. I loved her. I don't want to break her heart. We got to be that way with God. This is a hard thing. This is not a ritual, pharisaical thing. God, the heart of the matter is our hearts to him. We are obedient when we love him. We are more obedient once and once. And the more we step into tasting that obedient in that first step, he shows himself. And you begin to say, I never knew you was this good. I've been missing out on this. Guess what that does? It gives you faith to take the next step, and God will give you more of himself, and you experience the goodness, not of things, but the goodness of him. Listen, don't fall in love with the blessings. Fall in love with the blesser. When you fall in love with him, even when it seems like he's not blessing, you still bless. Because you know he got you. You know he. Watch. Adam and Eve didn't obey, and they got kicked out of the blessing. And the angel came and made sure they didn't eat of the tree of life. But the Bible says that after the devil left, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Don't you know the angels are servants to you and I? And they watch over us and minister to us. Now, you don't pray to angels, you pray to God. God will send the angels. Hold on. Then the Holy Spirit, who's on the inside and wrapped up on the outside, will minister to you. Then Jesus is making intercession on the right hand of Father to make sure we get what we need when we need it. I just came to say that we're in a win-win situation with Jesus. I just came to say that at the name of Jesus, every knee's gonna bow and every tongue's gonna confess. I said at the name of Jesus, we win. Watch God. Watch God do it. Put your faith in it. Watch God do it. Watch God show up right on time. And you're going to be so glad you waited on him. You're going to be so glad you trusted him. You're going to be so glad that you tasted and saw that the Lord is good. Not just sometimes, but experiencing him. We're going to open up the doors because somebody needs Jesus. Somebody needs Jesus. I got ministers, I got deacons, I got people that have been trained to show you that he's real. That he's real.